and a good evening to all of you around the United States and all of you others who are listening online around the world, and to everyone who listens in the days and weeks and months and years to come. Hello once again and welcome back. A very special program tonight. The return visit of two gentlemen who are literally rolling back the darkness of confusion and fear about what we call death, survival after death. I'm going to do a rather lengthy introduction tonight to get you all prepped and ready for this marvelous conversation that is to follow. We're going to be doing a follow-up show on this in November as well, and much to think about in the interim, to be sure. Dying, of course, is, according to many, and my guests tonight especially included, is considered to be as natural as being born. No big deal. Immortality is a natural physical phenomenon. A natural physical phenomenon. The study of immortality is an area of science, not necessarily faith. Scientific proof has existed for over 100 years now that we all survive the death of our physical bodies, irrespective of our religious beliefs. The campaign for philosophical freedom is working very hard to achieve a philosophical balance in the media now and to increase all of our awareness of the existence of scientific proof. This isn't conjecture anymore, that we all survive death. And once again, we survive it regardless of our religious faiths, convictions, or lack thereof. The following quote from Adrian Berry, the science correspondent for the UK Daily Telegraph, sums up why the powerful establishment forces are so frightened. They are literally shaking in their academic boots, many of them. They are frightened of the information that the website I have just quoted from a moment ago, which I'll give you the URL to in just a moment, is giving out. The information on that website is stunning, to say the least. And for those of you not online, let me quickly just say it is the usual three W's, CFPF, that's CFPF.org.uk. It is the campaign for philosophical freedom. Now, the quote from the Daily Telegraph from Adrian Berry, the writer, science correspondent for that paper. Few subjects infuriate scientists more than talk of paranormal phenomena, because if confirmed, the whole fabric of science, as it is known and embraced and clinged to by so many, would be threatened. End quote. People throughout the world will never be in any danger of disappearing into a psychic jungle once they have this basic grounding of survival after death as a branch of physics, and that day will come at some point, that we are only dealing with natural forces in the invisible part of the universe. They're all natural. The above website I mentioned, cfpf.org.uk, deals only with the experimental proof of survival after death, backed up with a mathematical theory. There is a math now, there is a theory, there is something we can point to that will demonstrate how this all works. Also, how and why this revolutionary scientific discovery is being and has been ruthlessly, viciously, vigorously, and unceasingly censored. No question about it. If your mathematical theories do not match the experiment, they are wrong. So said Professor Richard Feynman, Nobel laureate for physics. Current experiments, however, being carried out with mediums by Professor Gary Schwartz, former guest on this program of the University of Arizona, have really thrown the door, not open, but certainly wide enough to see light on the other side now. And this has been widely publicized in the UK. The only thing that is being censored now is the fact that we now have the mathematical backup for the Schwartz experiments, and perhaps others. An English medium has had to go to America. Remember, this is largely a story of censorship. So a medium from England had to travel all the way to the States here, because if any so-called scientist in the UK dared to do the same things as Professor Gary Schwartz, he or she would risk the full wrath of the scientific establishment, which would spring instantly into action. You have no idea of the lid on this in England and many parts of the world. For example, the science writer, the gifted Arthur Koestler, left a great deal of money to set up a university chair to look into so-called paranormal phenomena, to follow in his steps, of course, after his life and his professional career ended, reading the subject as a branch of physics, as set out in his book called The Roots of Coincidence, 1972 was the publication date of that. An American took this chair at Edinburgh University, Professor Robert Morris, in 1983. His hands, however, since then have been tied. Nothing at all, zero, has happened. Nothing. Ever since 1983, he should have been doing exactly the same kinds of experimental work as has Professor Schwartz, working with mediums, nature's interpreters, between our physical world and people living in the ether, in the etheric wavelengths. It's all a question of vibrational frequency. The man in charge of the Arthur Koestler legacy is a psychologist from Edinburgh University, Dr. John Beloff. The following quote from his book, Parapsychology, A Concise History, in 1993, published, shows that he is coming from the establishment angle. Never let the public know we are dealing with a branch of physics. He said, many parapsychologists believe, mistakenly, in my view, that paranormal phenomena are all potentially explicable in terms of some principle of physics that has yet to be clarified. Usually some of the more paradoxical implications of modern quantum theory are invoked to provide an answer. So said Dr. John Beloff. Psychology teaching must now do a complete U-turn. It's time. We are at that point. Use the word as the great Greek scientists and philosophers intended. Psyche, meaning soul. This will make many scientists very angry indeed, but the truth has to come, whatever the consequences. We all know now, at least most of us, you folks who have listened to the program, that Houdini did, in fact, come through to his wife after he died, proving that he had survived. Other questions, why were Queen Victoria's diaries destroyed or allegedly destroyed? There is a major film being made now telling the truth about the Helen Duncan tragedy, which has been gone into in great detail on this program. She was, of course, convicted as a witch in 1944. Michael Roll feels, among many others, that the American film Ghost, although maybe a little ragged around the edges, got it basically right. When we die, we do everything in our power to let our loved ones on Earth know we are still very much alive. We're going to talk to Michael Roll and scientist Ron Pearson tonight and get into this very heavily. We had both these gentlemen on in an unprecedented program some time ago. They came back for a second visit. It's time to revisit this because we have so many new listeners, and things have been happening. Let me introduce you to my first guest tonight, Michael Roll. He is a lifelong student of the arts, but more than that, he is reading the true history of mankind. He's really a philosopher seeker. He was born of a mother who had made a very careful study in her lifetime of the subject of life after death as being a branch of physics, dealing only with natural forces in the universe, no hocus pocus. This, of course, is the censored work of international teams of scientists who carried out repeatable experiments, capital R, under laboratory conditions, capital L, that proved we all survived the death of our physical bodies. The only reason this revolutionary discovery did not come to the attention of every person in the world over 100 years ago is that the experiments lacked a mathematical theory to back up what was being witnessed. Remember, science loves a mathematical theory. However, thanks to the scientific discipline of quantum mechanics, the study of the invisible part of the universe, we now have this missing part of the jigsaw through the work, the brilliant work of Ron Pearson. All to be found on the website I mentioned before, the Campaign for Philosophical Freedom, and found on this program tonight as well. Joining Michael Roll tonight will be Ronald Pearson. He is a remarkable man. He began his professional career by inventing a new kind of engine that he called the gas wave turbine, which he subsequently developed to the demonstration stage. It was working, a prototype. This occurred in two periods, but sandwiched between these, he became a research officer at the NGTE laboratories working on jet engines and spent the latter half of his career as a university lecturer in mechanical engineering. He is a no-nonsense man, specializing in thermodynamics and fluid mechanics. This background enabled Ron Pearson to make the contribution to physics that is summarized in his book, Intelligence Behind the Universe, because it homed in on the idea that space would behave rather like air does. So my guests, Michael Roll and Ron Pearson, are standing by live from the UK. We'll take our first break and come back and get into some marvelous conversation. Stand by. Hi, and let me say hello first to Ronald Pearson, standing by and holding forth marvelously in the middle of the night in merry old England. Hello, Ron. Welcome back to the program. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, thank you.
And you have tea and crumpets standing by?
not quite, no.
Well, what do you got there? How'd you manage to stay up, or did you go to sleep and then get up?
Oh, I went to sleep until you rang the telephone.
What a minute. See, now, a lot of people can't do that. They'll sit and wait, and they can't sleep. I'm glad you were able to do that. Let me say hello to your partner, and welcome back to Michael Roll. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Jeff. Good to hear you again.
It's nice to have both of you back on the phone. If I might start with you, Michael, first, because the story of your mother is extraordinary, and I did make that comment about Houdini, and a lot of people probably who haven't heard you both before would say, no, it didn't happen. It didn't work. The experiment failed. Let's talk about Houdini first and then your mom if we can.
Yes, it's quite staggering that this is why I'm so angry. I'm not angry that people attack these great scientists and people like Houdini and then tell lies about them. It's the fact that no supporter has ever, in my country anyway, in Britain, been allowed on to put the record straight. This is why I was so excited when we got Dr. Peter Wadhams from Cambridge University to agree to join us in this broadcast.
Yes.
It was
yes.
a great breakthrough after my lifetime's work.
Yes, indeed.
A scientist of that caliber.
Now, let's mention what Ron is talking about, and rather Michael is talking about here. Dr. Peter Wadhams is a brilliant Cambridge University scientist, and he has come out of the closet, so to speak, and come forward and is now supporting the work of Michael Roll and certainly Ron Pearson. And Dr. Wadhams will be with us in the November program. He was going to try to be here tonight, but circumstances prevented that. That's going to be marvelous. He is a man of as high an esteemed scientist as we're going to get, I think, in this movement, and it's marvelous to have him. So we look forward to that November program.
This is so exciting. But he had, as you know, a very good reason for backing
yes.
out tonight.
Right. Well, it's connected in a way, isn't it? So we'll.
Yes, it certainly is. Yes.
All right.
Yes, the propaganda Houdini. In this country, especially put out by this James Randi fellow, mm-hmm. even though he's not of this country, he has total freedom of our media outlets. He was given a six-part series, Jeff, on the paranormal, and no qualified scientist was allowed to go on against it.
Wait a minute. James Randi was given the reins to lead the British public on television through a six-part series explaining the paranormal?
He always has total freedom of the airwaves in this country, and none of our qualified scientists are allowed to go up against him. This is why I'm so angry. I'm not angry that he was given the series. I thought that was fair enough. If we were given the same amount of airtime to put the record straight.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, in fact, when we heard it was going out, we wrote to Granada Television and said, look, this chap James Randi is a professional trickster. He's not an expert on the paranormal as he pretends to be. Mm-hmm. These qualified scientists, I said to Granada, enlisted them, mm-hmm. Are mm-hmm. the people who should be going on and talking about mm-hmm. life after death and the paranormal. And we didn't get anywhere. And my colleague, Sam Nichols, is a master of science, for goodness sake, and an expert on this subject, like mm-hmm. Peter Wadhams is. Mm-hmm. And he contacted Granada, and they turned him down. They wouldn't let him go on against Randi.
Sounds like the fix was in, as they said.
Oh, yes, but to his credit, Sam Nichols actually turned up at the filming. I mean, that's a real good scientific move. And he stood up in the middle of Randi doing his spiel,
uh-huh.
And Randy panicked because he's all good kids that take in on mediums who have never read science.
Uh-huh.
He makes them look stupid, but by the clever editing as well, of course.
Oh, funny.
And when this master of science got up and challenged him and hit him with subatomic physics, of course, he panicked and ordered all the cameras to be switched off. But that's what people don't know about it.
Well, over here they do. James Randi is understood pretty much to be what he is, a professional debunker.
Yes, but people in Britain have no idea. They keep even this very moment, they're quoting this ridiculous offer he's made of $1 million if anybody can prove that the paranormal exists.
You know, if someone could prove that it exists, the worth of that would far exceed $1 million. So there's some humor in that in itself.
Yes, it's ridiculous. Of course, as soon as he offered it, I claimed the money immediately. I thought this was going to be the easiest money I've ever made in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only when you actually claim it, you find out the whole thing's a hoax and a trick. No way you would ever need to part with the money.
I understand. No, you're talking to a very friendly audience here who understands. Tell me about Houdini. What happened?
The Houdini thing is marvelous because I did the same thing with my mother. Houdini set up special codes with his wife. He said before he died, of course, that if there's anything in this life after death business, I'll come through to you with these codes, and they must be in perfect sequence and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, after he died, his wife made an effort to make contact. And of course, she knew the only way to do that was to find a really good medium, an intermediary between our world and the next world.
A facilitator, if you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Purely an interpreter. That's all a human medium is.
Got it.
And she came across Arthur Ford, a brilliant medium from New York. And it happened. He gave her the codes she had set up with Houdini in perfect sequence. And of course, she was thrilled to bits. And she signed a sworn affidavit to that effect, signed by 3 witnesses.
Wait, all right, stand by right there, Michael. We'll come back and finish the story of Houdini's successful contact with his wife from the other side, or the other dimension, or the next dimension, however you will. Remember, life seems to be rather like one radio station on a large dial of potentials. If you tune it up or down, you go into a different frequency medium. Think about it like that. We'll be back with Michael Roll and the brilliant Ronald Pearson in just a couple minutes. Life after death. Probably we shouldn't think about it that way. We should think of it as just a continuum. We always have to compartmentalize things. We've been taught to do that for so long, it's almost a reflex. So Houdini's wife, 3 witnesses, affidavit, signed, no doubt about it, it happened, and yet the average person who's familiar with the case would say it didn't happen. What about that, Michael?
Yes, to the credit of the Hollywood film that made the film on Houdini, I think Tony Curtis played the part, that's how they ended it, with the truth, that he did come through to his wife. But if people haven't seen the film, they listen to the propaganda that's put out from Great Britain, that if there was anything at all in this life after death business, then Houdini would have proved it, mm-hmm. and he set up those codes with his wife, and he never came through. Mm-hmm. And that's the official line.
Right.
But why they're playing that card is that because Mrs. Houdini was brought up as a Roman Catholic, and once the priests heard about what had happened, they put the fear of Christ up. You know, you ain't going to get to heaven. You've got no chance of getting to heaven unless you renounce what you have signed.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's what she did. And this is what James Randi and all his characters have leapt onto, that saying that. If there was any proof in life after death,
sure.
Houdini would have come through and given the coach to his wife. And that's all that people hear, you see.
Right.
And if they see the Hollywood film, they probably think it's just a lie. But it was the truth put out by the Hollywood film.
Got it. Interesting. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about your mother and what you set up with her.
Yes. Well, I set up Houdini-type codes with my mother when she died in 1990. But not to prove survival, because we already knew it. Nobody knew the proof of survival better than my mother and myself, so she didn't have to prove to me that she was alive. I knew she was.
Mm-hmm.
But I said to Mum, if you've got anything really urgent, Mum, come through to me and give me these codes, and I'll act on it. And Mum died in 1990, but in May 2000, the phone went, and it was a medium who said, I've got your mum here with me. I said, well, I'm very sceptical about anything like that, so you're going to have to hit me with the codes that my mother and I set up when she was dying to take any notice of a message I'm going to get from mum.
Yeah.
And she hit me. No doubt at all about it. It was mum coming through.
Nobody knew the codes?
Oh, no not
chance.
Even my sons know the codes now.
And she rattled them right off to you?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You must have been amazed.
Not really, because I've read the subject.
amazed that it would come to you that way.
No,
via a phone call in the middle of the afternoon or evening, someone said, hey, I've got your mom here. That's got to be a little bit amazing, because you weren't ready for it.
Let's put it, I was very excited. Obviously, she had something very important to say.
Yeah.
And it certainly was. The message was very simple. For goodness sake, get on the internet. This is May 2000.
No kidding.
And of course, I was thinking about getting on the internet, but it's when you're a computer literate like I am, it's not that easy to do it. And within hours, if you like, the whole thing had fallen into place. A complete stranger phoned me from Germany, a friend of a friend of a friend, and he is a computer whiz kid, and he did the whole lot for me. He's done my website and everything. A professional job. So it was all taken care of from the etheric world. Because I wouldn't be speaking to you now if my mum hadn't made that phone call.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes. That's how its system works. If you're working unselfishly to bring enlightenment to mankind, the people in the etheric world will never let you down.
Mm-hmm.
Just as long as you're not trying to make a buck out of it or fix people.
Right.
You do the right thing and... as you sow, so you will reap, you know.
Indeed. You have seen many people pass over. We all have. And have you had other people come to you who have had similar experiences who haven't necessarily believed in life hereafter?
Well, I think we can safely say, Jeff, millions and millions of people have had this wonderful link.
Right.
Because we're all basically mediums, but some are much better developed than others.
Yeah, we have, of course, covered that very thing on this program for years and years, and I always ask people if they have experience with others who have, just out of the blue, had these contacts, because they are so common and so profound that most people, as you know, are really rather afraid to talk about them, except amongst loved ones, and even then they're afraid to.
Because of the propaganda.
That's right.
The propaganda is that they must be nutty or going mad. They ought to be led away in white coats. No wonder they're frightened to say it. But that's what happens in the film Ghost. As soon as our loved ones get into the next world, they break their neck to come back and let their loved ones on Earth know the wonderful proof of survival, you see.
We are having more and more folks investigating what they call EVP, and that's, for those of you listening, electronic voice phenomena, which is the apparent ability for our friends and loved ones to communicate with us from the next vibrational level on audio tape. Now, these recordings are made by a number of researchers around the world. We've had them on the program quite often. We'll be having another program with EVP very soon. And it's something that apparently takes some energy, and that's where the mediums appear to do their work. They make it easier for those on the next level to manifest information and full body visualization as well, correct?
Indeed, yes. This is the only mediumship that I'm really interested in. I'm thrilled to bits with the work that Professor Schwartz is doing, but I'm in constant communication with him, and as soon as we get another materialization medium as good as Helen Duncan, then the first thing we'll do is call in our qualified scientists.
We are still looking for one. The last time you were on the program, a call went out for a good materializing medium. Now, they're hard to find because those few that are out there, the good ones, know how quickly they can be, shall we say, intimidated by the authorities if they start doing too much of what they do out in a public venue. Keep your head down, in other words. All right, we're going to pause and come right back with Michael Roll and get to talk next to Ron Pearson about how he got involved with all this and his brilliant science, which has given a mathematical, workable formula to the concept of continuing life. Next. And welcome back. Jeff Rentz here. That's R-E-N-S-E. The website is Rentz.com, the world's most revelatory news service. Tell you that much. We put stuff up that you'll find in aggregate nowhere else online or in any other medium. And it's remarkable information. And please do remember, I do not agree with all of it. We do not subscribe to all of it. We don't endorse all of it. But we do feel it's worth reading. And my oldest caveat of them all is that we should not go through life reading only what we agree with. We should read things that make us mad from time to time. My guests, Michael Roll and Ron Pearson. Ron, it is...
Hello there.
Hello. Very glad, very glad you're there. You're not a person who has spent a lot of time in traditional physics, but you have invented some things with which would be the envy of many who are. Your career is extraordinary, the gas wave turbine, working on jet engines and so forth. It doesn't seem to necessarily lend itself to the subject at hand tonight. So tell me the obvious, if you would, how you got into this field, and unless you lost a mother or father and had codes worked out yourself, what was it that got you involved?
Oh, I had nothing. At the start of my work on this, I didn't, in fact, intend to look into survival at all. I didn't even believe it. But I got into it by reading cosmology physics. I was interested in the subject, mm-hmm. as a matter of interest, not from a professional point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I started looking into it, I found some alarming logical errors in the Big Bang theory. And I thought they should have been spotted by the assessors. For example, this Big Bang took place, according to the theory, according mm-hmm. to a negative pressure. Negative pressures can only cause implosions, not explosions. So I thought there's something wrong with all this.
That sounds like, as they say over here, it's bass ackwards.
Yeah, it just doesn't gel.
Huh.
I looked into this, and I found, in fact, the whole thing was full of logical errors. I tried to publish critiques of these, but they were all rejected. And then, to my horror, I found most of the rejection letters I got showed the assessors lacked a grounding in basic principles. And I just went on from there.
Now, the assessors you talk about are the people who were doing the analysis of the so-called universe and how it began, but they were, you found, to be less than solid in their grounding of basics and essentials. In other words, they weren't qualified, in your opinion, to make the vast and sweeping generalizations and theories they were putting forward.
Yes, they were, in fact, not able to spot that there are errors in there. And the errors would have been quite obvious to anyone in my discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to suggest that something had gone wrong in the teaching of cosmology physics. That
so,
in fact, they
yeah.
lost some vital information.
Theoretical physics doesn't really fit in too well with hands-on physics, design, building, the way that we understand matter works in the laboratory. These people are, in your opinion, off in a different realm of logic.
Hey, of course, a different realm of logic. What's going on is this, quite simply. They've got more and more sophisticated in their mathematical treatment. And more of this material got into the syllabus until such a stage has been reached that they've missed out the basic understanding that they need. And I think the whole thing got in a real mess. So I thought I could try and make some, offer some help to put things right. But
all right.
It's not appreciated.
All right. So for the layman out there, how did you do that? How did you start to take a look at brain function, death, and all the rest of it. Energy. Andrew, how did energy work into it?
Well, as I say, I realized some basic grounding had been lost in the teaching of physics, and so I started trying to make changes, and this turned me looking into other aspects of physics. I had to solve one or two other major problems because they obviously weren't being solved.
Mm-hmm.
And the solutions that came out of this showed that consciousness had to be part of an invisible background medium. And this meant it couldn't be just brain function, which is postulated by nearly every scientist.
Uh-huh.
It had to be something which was in the invisible, which we can't relate to normally.
So consciousness...
As a part of the construct of a background
right.
medium.
Okay, consciousness is not something peculiar to humanity or humankind. It is actually a part of the fabric of an entire background medium, as you called it, and energy, an entire universal energy or an ether, whatever you want to, 'cause there are a lot of terms for it, but consciousness is just maybe each one of us are just a little conduit for our portion of it coming through, but we are all related to one cosmic energy background modality.
That's right, yes. That's the conclusion I reached. Because of that, then I began to look into the question of survival. But it was through looking into physics that I came to this conclusion, not the other way around. Most people who come into this area, they come into it from having paranormal experiences. And I didn't get these at that time. I have had a few since I became tuned into this, but as I say, the route where I came into it was by trying to improve the physics.
I understand. In a way, coming into physics with your background of practical nature, inventing things and so forth, gave you, I think, from what I can hear, a fresh hand at trying to take it apart, look at it, put it back together in a more appropriate fashion. Why have classical physics ignored the idea that something that they can't see or measure equally, simply, can't possibly exist? Why such stubborn close-mindedness about it? Just because we don't have the instruments to measure an entire background mode of energy, we can call it consciousness, there may be multiple of these things out there. What about this? And you're a scientist. Where does that come from?
It's a bit difficult to answer that question. I would have thought that they would have homed in naturally onto this, because the whole of quantum theory, in fact, suggests this is the case. And I would have thought, well, in fact, some quantum physicists did home on to it. Wolfgang Pauli, for example, he said that there must be a connection with mysticism. Uh-huh. But other physicists in that area, the pioneers of quantum theory, quite a number of them made comments such as, this is more like Eastern mysticism than Western science.
Mm-hmm.
So, other people have, in fact, had this sort of intuitive insight. And somehow they have all been overwhelmed by the majority view of scientists, mm-hmm. which is it's all bunkum and nonsense. And
right.
It is a great puzzle. People have been so long in coming around to the correct view.
And it is really a rather simple thing to grasp once you lay it out in an accessible mode, correct? It's not that difficult. I mean, we don't have to have degrees in physics to understand what you're talking about, that there is a whole fabric of energy. People call it God. People call it the universal consciousness. You can call it whatever you want. But there may be, as I said, a multiplicity of energy fields and forms in the universe that we have not even a clue about yet. And yet science seems not to be striving in many cases to even look there.
That's right. One major effect is Einstein's theory of relativity, which in fact precludes the existence of any background medium.
It precludes it.
Yeah, you see, the point is, Einstein's relativity theory is based on the assumption that the observer is the frame of reference.
Got it.
And this means any observer is assumed to be standing still. Well, if you have two observers in motion relative to each other, they can't both be standing still in a background medium. Ergo, no background medium can exist.
Mm-hmm.
Without a background medium, you can't have any paranormal or spiritual reality. So, in fact, the physics, in going along with this theory, has in fact precluded itself from operating and accepting these things.
How would you, Ron, be able to modify Einstein's theory to make it work better? Or does it have to be scrapped and replaced with a whole new workable theory?
Yes.
Go ahead.
This is one of the features which home me in onto this situation. There's a big problem in physics, which is still ongoing, to try and produce a satisfactory theory of quantum gravity. There are four forces of nature, and three of them are fully accounted for by the physicists in the quantum theory, which is, of course, the theory explaining the small-scale workings of the atom.
Mm-hmm.
But the only theory they accept for gravity is relativity theory, general relativity.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as I've mentioned, that doesn't fit in because of this inability to accept a background medium. And for 70 years, physicists have been trying to match up Einstein relativity with quantum theory. And this does surprise me because it is impossible. They'll never achieve this because the incompatibilities are fundamental.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I said, well, this I have to solve that problem, as well as the problems of the Big Bang, because they're interrelated. I have to treat them as a single problem. And it wasn't very long before I started coming out with a rational solution.
We like rational solutions. We're going to take our break now. So in summary, one day Einstein's theory will be an elegant relic on the shelf, having been supplanted with a far greater and wiser cosmology. Would you say that's correct, Ron?
It's long overdue.
All right. Summed it up beautifully. Very good. All right, we'll be back. Have an hour number two on tap for you and a third hour as well. We're going to get into some very, very remarkable things, as we have already with Ron Pearson and Michael Roll. I'm Jeff Rentz. Glad you're here. Do stay tuned as we pause just for a few minutes, and then we shall return with more.